Let me begin with a story. A story of a woman in the 19th century in America. She was an African-American woman who was born into a slavery, yet she was a believer in Christ. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And naturally, when you fell in love with someone, you'd like to know more about that individual. So she desired to know more of Jesus. But how could she do? Where could she start? Of course, in the Bible. Yes, she had a problem. She could not read. Since she was a slave serving in a white family, and like many other slaves in those days, she was illiterate. Couldn't read a thing. And no one was, interested in sending her to school. So her daily responsibility was to take care of the children of her master. And one day, she just, she collected her gumption and asked the children if they would teach her to read some words in the Bible, such as Jesus or Christ. So the children, graciously, no problem, we can teach you. And they taught her how to recognize those two words in the Bible, Jesus Christ. And you could imagine how delighted she was with her new gained knowledge. Finally, one day she got her own Bible very worn out. Yes, she was delighted to have her own copy. So whenever she had a chance to be alone and sit down, she opened the New Testament and started searching for, not reading, searching for the word Jesus, using her index finger, going line after line and page after page. And you could imagine each time she found the name Jesus, she was the happiest woman in the world because the name Jesus gave her a great comfort and strength. And this morning you and I are going to discover and rediscover the joy and the significance of the name Jesus in the believer's life. Did you know that the New Testament literally begins and ends with this name, Jesus? If you look at the first book in the New Testament, which is Matthew, the first page we call the first chapter. If you look at the very first verse, we call it verse 1, Matthew 1:1, begins with a record of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. The last book of the New Testament, we call the book of Revelation. The last chapter is 22nd chapter. Last verse is 21st verse, which says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." And as I said, there are all 9 authors there, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. And they never had a, just conference together. Hey, folks, let's get together before we start writing about Jesus or this book. Yet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they focused on one single theme. That was the name Jesus. And as a matter of fact, this name consistently appears in every single chapter of the New Testament except one book. 3 John is one chapter, and there is no mention of Jesus, but the rest of them, 259 chapters, in every single chapter you find the name Jesus. Therefore, I can safely say to you that the New Testament is all about Jesus. And there is some more trivia for those curious-minded people this morning. The name Jesus, the Greek Jesus, appears 923 times in the New Testament. And considering that, the name God appears in the New Testament about 1,200 times. So this alone tells us how important the name Jesus is in the New Testament. There's a little more. The average appearances per book of the name Jesus is 34 times. In each book, you can count about 34 times of Jesus' appearance. The average appearances per chapter of Jesus is about 3.6. And the Gospel of John has the most entries, 245 times in 22 chapters. That's almost 12 times per chapter. Almost 4 times more often than the average. And in fact, the book of John is the one I recommend to everyone who wants to start reading the Bible. Book of John is the place to go. And you could imagine this lady, all of a sudden, she's in almost chapter, she found Jesus and she's delighted. Oh, here's another Jesus. When she got into the book of John, her delight was 4 times increased. To me, the name Jesus is awesome and wonderful and amazing and incredible and extraordinary. And that's the name we're going to think about this morning. And let's ask the following 3 questions for ourselves. And the first question is, do I know the name Jesus really? Did you know that this name Jesus is the most powerful name in the world? Did you know that this is the very name that has power and authority over all creatures in the world? And this is what the Bible says about this name. It is above all names in the world, both visible and invisible. It is the name that is exalted above all nations and rulers, both in heaven and on earth. And this is the name to which every knee shall bow and worship. And this is the name, therefore, that we must love and fear and honor and revere above all other names. Now imagine yourself are invited to have an exclusive audience with Queen Elizabeth II in England. You would consider it an extreme honor, the highest honor you would ever had. The Queen wants to see you for the 10 minutes, just you. Okay, so you just fly right in to London to see her, and before you enter her room, you're given 10 minutes and you will be given instructions how, what to say and what not to say, how to behave on all kinds of things. One of the things, this is true, if you want to see the Queen, Elizabeth II, open the door, will be opened for you, and you walk in, okay? When the audience is over, you never turn around and face, just, you know, show your back to the Queen. It is such a disrespectful thing to do. So the way you come out is the way, reverse the order that you went in. Come back, walking backwards. Okay? Including that, you are instructed all these things. The point is this. You would show the utmost respect to the Queen and to her name. Imagine that the same Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, once said that she would lay her crown at the feet of Jesus upon his return. If we are to show such respect and honor to the Queen Elizabeth II that much, how much more respect should we show to this name, Jesus? Here's the reality, though. People in America tend to misuse this name and profane this name with no idea of what they're doing to this name or with the name. You know, once I was having a conversation with a member of my church, not this church, but the previous congregation. And in the course of something, he was frustrated, not with me, but something else going on, and he used the name of the Lord in vain. I was shocked. Never ever treat this name casually. Never ever misuse or profane this name. Now, if you nowadays look at the movies nowadays, all R-rated movies and even PG-13 movies, they are filled with profanity, using the name of the Lord in vain. Screenwriters, I think they must beware how they use their name Jesus, because they're the ones writing in the script. Because God concerns his holy name and therefore will hold them accountable. Do I know the name Jesus? We need to show our utmost respect. The second question is, do I know the meaning of the name? The name Jesus means God saves. It is a Greek, Jesus is a Greek counterpart of the Hebrew word Joshua. To be more close, it's a Yeshua. Yeshua means Jehovah saves. Now, whenever you think and hear about the name Jesus, what kind of image comes to your mind? Well, especially around this Christmas time, you know, Jesus is a cute little tiny baby boy in a manger, isn't it? And as soon as the Christmas is over, we all forget about Jesus for the rest of the year. And next year, we bring out another cute baby boy image again. That's a lot of us going through. No, however, that is not how we should remember Jesus. We should remember, as his name says, God saves. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior of the world, and he came here to save you and to save me. His name tells us about his destiny, why he was born in human flesh. And his name tells us about his mission, why he had to die on the cross. He died on the cross to save you and me from our sins. For us, the scripture says, he was crucified. For us, the scripture declares, he resurrected from the dead. For us, he ascended into heaven. And for us, he will come again to judge the world. Did you also know that Acts 4:12 says this? This is the only name given to humanity for their salvation. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Do I know the meaning of the name? God saves. The third question is this, do I claim this name and do everything in the name? I invite you to look at the bottom. There's Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 quoted there. This is what the Bible says, in whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are Christ's bearers. We represent Christ Jesus in the world. We are the letter to the world. When people look at us and how listen to what we say and listen, you know, carefully observe what we do and how we do, they think of Christ. We represent Christ Jesus in the world. That's why the Bible calls us to do everything in the name of Jesus. Jesus is our life, he is our breath, and he is our strength, and he is everything to us. I was just curious, you know, what exactly means to do everything in the name of the Lord? And I want some examples. And this is what I have discovered in the scripture to give you the few examples. The scripture commands us to do in the name of Jesus as follows. Bless, rejoice, praise, pray. In the name of Jesus, we are to forgive, love enemy, prophesy, preach, and proclaim and confess. In the name of Jesus, we call on the name of the Lord. We walk, minister, raise the dead, and heal, cast out demons, and do miracles. And in the name of the Lord, we welcome each other, we gather, and we baptize when we ask anything from the Lord and endure hardships and suffer for the Lord, all in the name of the Lord. And we remain true to this name, all in the name of Jesus. One day around 3 o'clock, 2,000 years ago, two apostles, Peter and John, they're walking toward the sanctuary, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. You see, there are just a flight of stairs to enter. You have to climb the stairs. And at the foot of the stairs, there's one man who's been begging for his entire life because he was crippled. He never walked. So sitting on the foot of the stairs, he was, you know, extending his hand to everyone entering the sanctuary. It's like someone just sitting at the foot of the, you know, the Manahawkin congregation before you enter this the morning and asking for a dollar or two. You would give them, especially when you're about to go into the God's temple. So he had the best spot as far as business is concerned. So there were 3 o'clock that afternoon as Peter and John were walking, and this man did the same thing, extended his hand asking for a little coin or two. And this is what Peter said, Acts chapter 3, to the man. Silver or gold, that's what you're looking for, I do not have. But what do I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I cannot imagine the joy that this man had. You see, in his man's life, he was never entered and allowed to enter God's temple courts. Why? Because he was handicapped. Because in those days, if you're handicapped, you're not allowed to enter God's temple. In the name of Jesus, they did. Let's do some reality check. How many of the things that I just mentioned to you do we actually do? Maybe a couple of things I could think of. Maybe none. I believe it is time that you and I obeyed God and did everything in the name of Jesus and experienced the wonderful Jesus, our Lord, in our lives. Let's bow.